Welcome to Sparkle Speak. This is a podcast sponsored by Sparkle, which is a Christian women's ministry designed to connect women with the purpose of inspiration and encouragement. Each week, we will interview a new guest who will share her personal experience with Christianity. Whether you identify yourself as a Christian or not, this podcast is for you, and our intent is always to inspire one another through our own unique and individual stories of how God has moved and shaped us. Wherever you are listening today, we hope you enjoy this story of faith. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sparkle Speak. As you know, each week we chat with a guest who will share her personal story of how she came to know the Lord. And today we are honored to have Elle with us. Elle grew up in the Birmingham, Michigan area, and she currently lives in Queens, New York, where she works at a private equity firm in an operations management role, which sounds super cool, by the way. We're extra excited to speak with Elle today because she is actually our first podcast guest. So with that said, thanks for choosing to talk with me today, Elle.
Thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor.
Yeah, I'm excited. So let's just dive right in, if that's okay with you.
Let's do it.
Yeah, there's one question that I specifically enjoy asking people because I think so many of us grow up with preconceived ideas of what Christianity is or isn't. So I would love to hear your thoughts on this one, which is, what does Christianity mean to you?
So I think Christianity at its core is about a relationship. I know so many of us who, I grew up in church. So the idea of Jesus being the Son of God and, you know, the Bible stories, none of that was particularly new to me. However, the relational aspect that as I became an adult that I grew, that's where I started to really figure out what it meant to be a Christian. And I think also when I started to sort of welcome that relationship is when my foundation of the biblical stories and understanding that like Jesus was sent here to die for our sins, all of that just felt a little bit more tangible and less about the rules. And that, while I do think that like as Christians, we are called to living a certain standard, I think when you become less focused on like following rules and more just diving deep into that relationship, talking to God, like as if he is your earthly father, that's when I started to sort of see God as like a father figure, not just like this almighty powerful figure, which he is, and started just looking at it as a relationship and like welcoming God into like the daily movements of my life. I started to like really, I feel like a Christian, and not just in a way of like I said, following a set of standards, but really like just diving into that relationship. And then you just start to feel the Holy Spirit in a deeper way where you really feel like you're walking authentically as a Christian rather than just going through the motions. Mm-hmm. So I would say like to be a Christian, it's less about like the Christian checklist, which I think I have been guilty of as well, even in my post-saved world, if you will. As I sort of grew in my faith and grew what it meant, it's all about just welcoming him into like the details of your life. So I would say relationship with God is like what it means to be a Christian, and all the other things sort of come once you sort of deepen that relationship. Like, you know, it's like anything else, like communication, understanding how God speaks to you. Like, to me, that's what it means to be a Christian, is just like wanting to develop that relationship, because, you know, at the end of the day, like God's grace is better than anything we could ever dream up. So even if you fall short to the Christian checklist, which we, you know, I think Christian culture focuses on a little bit too much, mm-hmm. I think just being like, God, I need you in this part of my life, that pleases him. And that's to me what it means to be a Christian, is just like welcoming him into the details and building that relationship. I was just saying, I've had friends who they maybe grew up Christian and, you know, they've sort of just journeyed their own way, and they will say things, oh man, if I stepped into a church, like I think God would just strike it down. And it's that message of like, oh, you have to be perfect to be a Christian or to earn God's love, that I think like as young Christian women, like I feel a deep responsibility to almost like say, no, like actually, like God loves broken people. Like that's actually his specialty. And all you have to do is just say, like, God, come into my life. And, you know, I just think it's, I think that's something that like contemporary Christian culture is focusing on a little more. And particularly being in New York City, where, you know, I do get a sense of a major revival there. And it's shifting from this perfect Christian picture to, okay, let's be real. None of us are perfect.
Right.
And guess what? God loves that. God, he wants you to bring him into the imperfect parts of your life, because that's where he can sort of smooth the edges. But I'm a big, big believer in being like, I am human and I own my humanness. I was on this call yesterday with a bunch of women, and one of them got baptized, and she said, you know, like, I just like wish I wasn't so angry sometimes. And I was like, so you're human, you know, like we think, oh, we're cleansed with the Holy Spirit, we're just going to be walking on cloud nine. And it's like, I wish that's how it worked. I wish you welcomed God into your heart, and then all of a sudden life is perfect. But if you really look at the Bible, and, you know, the first followers of Jesus, you know, they were all very, very imperfect people. And I am so encouraged by that.
Yeah.
Like Jesus came and he actually picked the most, he didn't go to the rabbis. He went to ordinary, imperfect people that he knew could do extraordinary things. And I think he does that even to this day. You know, we might not be, you know, one of the chosen 12, but we are chosen in our own regard by him just simply choosing that we have life. And I that is one of my biggest encouragements. It's like, I am here for a purpose, and God has that purpose for my life. And even if I fall off track, or it might not look how I want it to look, it's all still within his umbrella, because he brought me to exactly where I am right now.
Yeah, and, I love that. And I like what you said just about it being a relationship, because relationships are messy. I mean, any relationship we have with any person on this earth, not to personify God, because he's, you know, so much, you know, more perfect than a human being, but even our human relationships are messy. And so we are human. And so we're going to bring our mess to God, and he can handle it. So I just love that, everything you said. That's great. And it also reminds me when you said, God uses imperfect people. With this podcast in general, I think a lot about the story of the woman at the well. And if you're not familiar with this story, it's basically a story of, Jesus encountering this woman who, had fallen into a lot of, I guess, what you would call promiscuity or sexual sin, I guess. And so she was kind of ostracized from the community, but Jesus loved her and spoke with her and shared himself with her. And she ran back into the village and she said, come and see, I've met the Messiah. And it says that from her just sharing about her encounter with Jesus, other people came to believe. And so I think it's so powerful when we can just share our story, because we can really just help other people understand who God is a little bit clearer. And so I guess that leads into the next question that I have for you, which is, when did you first start identifying yourself as a Christian? I know you kind of touched on that a little bit, but how would you say you really like truly came to this place that you're at now with the Lord, of like really wanting him in your life?
Yeah. It's actually a really fun story that I can speak to much clearer now. It took me a long time to articulate it, but so I like I said earlier, I grew up in an amazing Christian house, grew up going to church. My dad was the worship leader. My mom was always involved in the church in some way, somehow. Going to church on a Sunday was just like a part of our life. I didn't really, it sounds so strange to me now, because so many people didn't grow up with that, but it was just like a part of our week, the same way that like going to school was, you know, it was just something that we did. And it that built like a great foundation of like, like I said earlier, like knowing the Bible stories, knowing Jesus loved me, and it really did obviously like shape my foundation. However, when I was like 18, I went to college and church just didn't become a part of my life anymore. And that is something that I'm super passionate and about Campus Crusade and churches being more visible on campus, because looking back on it, I don't even, if I had wanted to go to church, I don't even know where I would have started on campus. So, I sponsor Campus Crusade because I just think that like, it's such a critical part of our life, and it's a time with a lot of experimentation and a lot of, you know, you're figuring out who you are outside of your home with your parents. And I didn't go to church, and I think it would have saved me just like a lot of grief, but you know, God's timing is perfect. And so I have no regrets, because it got me where I am now, and I met my husband there and all is well. But I think it's interesting that even if I had wanted to go to church, and if I don't even know where I would have started. Like, I don't remember seeing like a religious or even Christian presence on campus. So that's a side note. But anyway, so I graduate, I moved to New York City. Outside looking in, you know, life was pretty good. I had a great job, a boyfriend who's awesome, who I mean, now I'm married to. And so we were really thriving as a couple. And I had a great group of friends. I was living out all my dreams, but like I kept on telling my mom, it's like, I think I need to like see a therapist or something. Like, I'm just feeling anxious all the time. And I just didn't feel fulfilled, but yet I had everything that you would think as a 23, 24 year old that you would want. And obviously now that I'm in my 30s, I'm like, well, you didn't feel fulfilled because you're in your 20s and you're figuring out life. But I also think it's because I didn't have that relationship with the Lord. And I would go to church when I was home, but I wasn't really seeking out community in the city. And my cousin moved to the city, and she was trying out churches, and she invited me to go with her. And I will never forget, because I'm just going to be super real and transparent with you guys. It was Sunday. I was a little hungover and I didn't want to go, but I'll never forget. I don't know why this moment like sticks in my head so tangibly. I think it's because I literally felt like the pull of the Holy Spirit off the couch. I was laying on the couch. You know how like you'll be in the sitting position, but then you're like, lay your chest down. So you're kind of like, you're not like laying down, but it's like ultimate lazy. You're just like, ugh, like I don't want to go. I feel like every high schooler sat this way before school in the morning. At least maybe that was just me. But so I was sitting there and I was like, ugh, I don't want to go. And all of a sudden I just like felt this pull that was like, no, you made a commitment. You need to see it through. And at the time, I thought it was just like me trying to be a good friend. But in hindsight, I really think it was like God pushing me off that couch.
That's so cool.
It was like very like a physical reaction, like, no, get your butt to church. You made a commitment. You need to see it through. And so it turns out that this church was like walking distance from my apartment. And I walked in, and it was Hillsong. So it was like a mega church, super intimidating. Mm-hmm. Like we're talking 2,000 people in a service. Really. So I was very intimidated. And all of a sudden I was like, this is what you've been looking for. You're home. And when I say I went all in, I just like at that moment, I like surrendered so much. I surrendered my heart to God, and I said, God, I'm home. I'm yours.
Aww.
And and honestly, I was 25 years old. It was January. And they started to have Wednesday night services. I would go there. I would go to Sunday services. I joined a team. Like my personality is that like, I don't do anything half. I like jump in with both feet in every single aspect of my life. From when I was like a little girl, I've always been that way. And so I think a lot of people in my life, it like sort of freaked them out, including my husband. Now, we were only dating at the time. And I think a huge part of my testimony is the fact that I got engaged about a month after I gave my life to Christ. And my husband grew up Greek Orthodox. And I honestly, I say this with love, but he was freaked out. Because everything, like, you know, we had been together at this point for 7 years, and like I had not even really talked about faith before. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden it's like my main priority. And I am just, I feel like I can't even describe it, but it was like I was a completely different person. Like the things that I was doing, like drinking and going out and having that be my focus, like just completely fell off my radar. And a lot of my friends, it just like, they didn't quite understand it. And then I felt super isolated because of it. And then we got engaged and sort of like navigating this new huge part of me while also like walking towards the altar. I can honestly say that like God's timing is so perfect because it really made like faith a huge foundation in our relationship. And it made us like, it's almost like God like wanted us to have certain conversations before we got to the altar. And all in all, that's a really long way of saying like, that's how I became a Christian. But it was like, God knew that my marriage needed him. Mm-hmm. And he came to me right before we got engaged. And I get like emotional talking about it because it's just like marriage is so sacred. And it was just so cool that like God is so invested in my marriage that he came to me like a month before. We weren't even engaged. I would have never, I wasn't even expecting a ring. I wasn't one of those people that like knew what their ring looked like. I literally had no idea we were getting engaged. I think my response when he got on his knee was like, what are you doing? Like, I was completely shocked. And I know now that it was just like all part of God's like it was all part of my testimony.
Wow.
And how it like God just like saved us. Cause if we had been dating at the time, when I think I spoke on the Christian checklist earlier, which I use that term because I think so many times people think you have to do X, Y, and Z to be called a Christian. And or like a godly marriage and everything. And it, once again, it comes back to this theme of like welcoming God into it. And I honestly, like, I was so sort of immature in my faith at this point. If we hadn't been engaged, I'm not sure if we would have made it.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that like kind of like makes my heart break because I love my husband so much, but I was so like confused about what it meant to be a Christian at this point, because I just felt like I had a release of all of these things that I had been doing for so long, and I wasn't doing those anymore, and I wasn't sure like how it was going to fit. But you know, my husband, God bless him, although he didn't understand anything I was saying, he was like so confused, because you know, I would just talk about God all the time and how like, you know, Heavenly Father and relationship and all of this stuff, and he was so just, we weren't on the same page. Mm-hmm. And then, but the fact that he was like supporting me, even though he didn't understand it. And then, through our engagement and when we did sort of like pre-marriage, and we worked through that in such a beautiful way. And, I can honestly say that everything sort of came full circle at our wedding. And my husband, who is, I would say I'm more of the feeler and he's more of like the realist of the two of us.
Uh-huh.
We both were like, we felt like God's hands on our shoulders at our wedding. Uh-huh. And like that he was just so in it. And so I would say like becoming a Christian sort of started with my engagement, and then my relationship with God and just trusting him through my engagement and then getting to the altar. And like, it kind of also speaks to the fact that like we are the bride, you know, the church. And, mm-hmm. You know, I think it's such, now that I sort of can look back on it in hindsight, I'm like, oh my gosh, like what a beautiful sort of like God was so working, and I had no idea. I was just sort of like so gung-ho about like following Jesus and being a part of a church. And like at the end of the day, like I think what he was really doing was just like saying, I need to be a part of your relationship. I need to be a part of your life. And this, and now I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know where we would be without it.
Yeah.
And so that's how I became a Christian. And then over the last five, that was when I was 25, I'm 30 now. And honestly, over the last 5 years, my relationship with God is just, I felt like every season it just sort of matures in a different way. And it's made me a better colleague. It's made me a better wife. It's made me a better friend. And not because of it's like, I hate it when it's like being a Christian isn't a behavior modification program, but it is a heart transformation program. And you just start to see the world and see yourself a little bit different. And at the end of the day, I think that as soon as I sort of made the decision of welcoming Jesus into my heart, he didn't really care what it looked like, even though I thought that he did. But as soon as I welcome him into the details of my life, he showed up when I needed him. And the altar was one place where it was just like the most tangible experience of my life. And so, yeah, that's a very long-winded of how I became a Christian. But I think it's also important to say that, like, it wasn't like I went to church and I walked out perfect or even completely understanding. I just said, I want to know you. Like, I just want you in the details. And over the last 5 years, I've been able to truly understand what that meant. But it took, like any other relationship, it took work understanding what that meant. And it changed the trajectory of my life. I'm not saying that I would, like, if you're not in that place, then you're in a bad place. But I'm saying the sooner that I welcomed him into my life, the sooner I was able to navigate those tough, tough things. In a much more deeper, purposeful way. And I'm so thankful that God saved me before I entered my marriage, because I literally can't imagine marriage without him. Like, marriage isn't just me and Teddy. It is me, Teddy, and God. And that gives me faith, because we're human, and it's like we said earlier, relationships are so messy. But I feel like we have such a strong foundation, because at the end of the day, our whole relationship is built around a foundation of our faith.
Yeah. And
I'm so thankful for that. So that's how I became a Christian, and that's how I got where I am today.
Oh, that's so cool. Thank you so much for like just sharing all that. And you could probably write a book about your engagement and getting ready for marriage, and how, you know, how that mimics the fact that we, the church, are like the bride of Christ. Cool that God like showed you all that through that experience.
It's so funny you say that, because I told my mom, okay, so my whole life people have always, I'm good with math and science and I'm very numbers oriented, but I feel like God has really called me to speak on relationships and his heart for relationships. And it's so funny you say that, because I made a lot of friends at Hillsong when I was kind of navigating my engagement and trying to understand why Teddy and I weren't on the same faith page. And I now have young women 5 years later reaching out to me saying, you know, you were so honest about you and Teddy, and, you know, not necessarily, you know, we weren't necessarily picture perfect Christian couple, because we were like messy. And I was so transparent about how we were not on the same page in terms of faith. Like, we both believed in God. We both believed that Jesus was the Son of God, but the way we practiced our faith was completely different. And I struggled with that, because I wanted it to look the same. And thank God for wise counsel, because it's really taught me that nobody's faith journey looks the same. And I needed to honor my husband's faith journey as well. And now I have young women reaching out to me and saying, you know, I'm dating this guy, we're not on the same page. And I just like let them talk and let them figure out if this person, I never tell somebody, don't date them. Yes, date them, because you know, every relationship is so different. But at the end of the day, one question I always ask them is, are they willing to know God? Do they want to know him? Are they seeking him? And because that was one thing that while Teddy and I didn't necessarily talk to God the same, talk about God the same, or even practice our faith the same, at the end of the day, we were both seeking him in our own unique way. And I think that was the secret sauce, was not necessarily having it look the same, but are you seeking him?
Mm-hmm. And can you get to a point where you can communicate with one another about him?
Yes. And honestly, Teddy and I talk about God all the time. And, you know, he grew up in a Greek Orthodox household. So it was very, very much about ritual and tradition. And when I first became a Christian, I thought that was a bunch of like, hooey. I'll just be honest. I was like, oh, it's just, they're just doing it because they do it. There's no deeper meaning. And I realize now that just because ritual and going through those practices isn't necessarily a part of my daily life, doesn't mean that it's not spirit filled. And so that was what I also needed to honor how other people feel close to God. So that is one thing that I feel really called to speak on, is just this idea of relationships and faith journeys and being young in navigating that. So I appreciate you actually speaking over that and reiterating that. That's super powerful.
Yeah,
so
no,
thank you.
Excited to, hear about how that ends up unfolding for you. I'm sure you have a lot to offer people just, you know, going through what you've been through. And I guess that kind of leads into the next question, which is, what are some of the joys and challenges of the Christian walk for you?
So I would say the challenges is that when I first gave my life to Christ, I dealt with a lot of shame. Shame that I got off the path, shame that I wasn't pure in my relationship, just being super real. And just, I don't know, just being really hard on myself that I needed to sort of be a certain way and my story needed to look a certain way. And I also, the fact that I didn't have scripture memorized or anything like that. Like I'm a perfectionist at my core. And just the fact that I hadn't lived this like picture perfect story, I was ashamed. I really was. And it closed my heart off to people for a long time in the church, because I always thought to myself, like, I'll never be good enough to be a part of that community. And it wasn't until I joined a community group at I ended up leaving Hillsong because it was Teddy and I just didn't feel like it was the right place for us to grow in our faith. And we were moving uptown when we got married. So we ended up joining a church uptown. And in New York City, we lived on the Upper West Side for the first couple of years of our marriage. And I found this community group, and it was four women, and we got real so fast. I mean, so I would say this is definitely like a joy. So while shame sort of was starting to build up in me, and then God gave me community, and I felt like very comfortable to just tell my story, tell them that I was struggling with shame. And I'll never forget that I was in a yoga class, and it was like Shavasana at the end. And God gave me this image of like chains just releasing from my wrists and my ankles. And I felt like it was a release of like, daughter, you are not bound by this shame. The shame you are feeling is not of me. I like release you from that. And it was like a very like physical reaction. Like I felt like a release from my body. And I think what it really comes down to is I acknowledged the spirit of shame. And I think so many people think we need to not acknowledge the bad spirits and just like welcome the Holy Spirit. Whereas what I've learned is like, you actually need to say, spirit of shame, you are not welcome in my life. And I learned that through this community group and being transparent with them. And they helped me learn sort of like a little bit how we can like release certain spirits of us that are not of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so I would say, like, that's a pain point, was that I really struggled with shame. And then, but that's the amazing thing about God and community, is that we can release ourselves from that. You can say, spirit of anger, you are not welcome here, spirit. And obviously, you know, there's a, I wish it was just like a switch of, you know, like a switch was flipped. But I think when you start to repeat that over your life, I don't think that the spirits have that much jurisdiction once you deter once you say, like, you do not have jurisdiction over me. You will not chain me. And that was something that in my community really taught me. And also this ability to be like, oh, you're struggling with shame? I'm struggling with shame. Let's partner in like getting through this together. So I would say, like, as much as it was a pain point and it was really hard to process, and it definitely took me at least like 2 years into my Christian walk to truly process and release myself of that shame, it also, at the end of the day, like, it brought me closer to my community and it brought some really amazing people into my life. So
Yeah, and I'm sure at the end of the day, it helps you relate to people who are walking through that as well, because I think that's very common.
right. And I think so many times we look at the, not the finished product, but we see somebody after they've already sort of broken that chain or that cycle of shame. And so we're like, oh man, you have it all together. And that's why I think it's so important to share our stories and share our testimony and say, like, oh, what you're seeing right now, you should have seen me a couple years ago. Girlfriend, that's a hot mess. But I, because of my vulnerability, because of my deepened relationship with the Lord, I was able to work through that. And now I'm walking in peace. And it's a part of my testimony. And so it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, obviously now 5 years in, I'm like, God needed me to process that. God needed me to release that, because once again, it brought me closer to Him. And I think at the end of the day, we walk through things, and God doesn't protect us from all of the bad things, because it's a part of our testimony, and it draws us into Him. And I think my journey with releasing the shame was like a huge part of my strengthening of trust in the Lord, and knowing that He loves me no matter what. And I find so much power in the fact that, like, God's grace is bigger than I could ever imagine, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So
Well, I feel like I do have one final question for you, but I feel like you've already given so much advice, which has been amazing. But my last question for you is just, what advice do you have for anyone seeking to follow God's call in their life? So like, how can they know what that is or have faith to follow it?
yeah, so I would say number one, wise counsel. I would not be where I am today without wise counsel. And that could be a parent, that could be a friend, that could be a pastor, that could be a community group leader, or, you know, Bible study leader. It could be a spouse. I would honestly say that I am so fortunate that I, in my walk with Christ, I've been able to lean on people. And God places people in our life for a reason. And don't be afraid to reach out to that girl at church who you think wouldn't want to be your friend, or it, you know, oh, she has her life together. You know, she wouldn't ever want to be friends with me. Because the thing that made a difference in my life was one girl at church texted me and was like, hey, do you want to get coffee? And then that one coffee led to a spiral of relationships that just like really, really shaped my life. And I always have this saying in my life that it takes one friendship to change your season. And it's a consistent theme throughout my life, from when I was 11 years old and struggling in middle school, to when I studied abroad in Hong Kong as a 20-year-old, to even now as a 30-year-old and going through COVID. And it's really only taken one person to really shape a season. And don't be afraid to reach out to that person that you think may be wise counsel in your life, because I think that God really wants us to do community, and that doesn't necessarily mean like a church. Well, a church is fantastic, you know, but really you just need one person at that church. You don't need the whole church, and it doesn't even have to be the pastor. So I would say seek someone that you feel like you could trust. And if it's the right person, which I'm sure if you know, like, just pray on it and God will reveal who he is providing for you that season. Because truthfully, God has never failed me in that regard. You know, we can feel really lonely in this walk with Jesus, which is so silly. But I can honestly say that when I first gave my life to Christ, I felt really alone. Sort of as I like stripped myself of my past life, if you will, giving up some habits, not because I felt like I had to, but because they no longer suited my heart. And as soon as I started to like pray to God for friends or for pastoral care, he always provided. So seek wise counsel and don't be afraid to reach out to one person at church. That's all you need is one person.
I love that advice. I can definitely attest to that in my own life too. You're so right. Oftentimes it just takes one person investing in you for, like you said, your season to completely change. And
I mean,
yeah,
it's like, I can't even think of a season where it didn't happen. You
yeah,
know? It's
definitely.
So it's really overwhelming to like, look at, you know, all the friends at church and say, oh gosh, I so badly want to be a part of that, but I don't know how. And then it just takes one person. And that also makes it easier. Perhaps you're not like a group person or you're not super outgoing, you know, one person via text or a phone call, you know, that could change everything. So.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, Al, this has been so, so nice chatting with you. I actually feel like our stories are not the same, obviously, but there's a lot of similarities. I can relate to you in a lot of what you've said. So it's been really neat just hearing your story. And I've been like smiling this whole time. We're not on video right now, but I've just been nodding my head and smiling because I'm like, yes, yes, I love this. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I would love to chat with you more too. Just because I think you're an awesome person. It seems like God's doing great things in your life, and you're going to do really incredible things through him for others. And so I'm just encouraged, and thanks for chatting with us today.
Oh, it was so fun to sort of like go down memory lane of when I got saved until now. You know, sometimes you forget how far you've come until you really break it down. You're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It was so much fun for me. And, you know, one thing that I love is encouraging others in their walk and having it not be perfect. So this has been such a joy, and you know, Jesus is awesome. God is awesome. And it's just, I think we need to simplify that. Like at the end of the day, like you're so loved, and just remember that. And tomorrow is a new day. So this was such a joy for me. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Sparkle Speak. If you are interested in following us on social media, you can find us on Instagram at @sparklefaith_ or at sparklefaith.com. There you can find information on upcoming events and speakers, and please feel free to reach out to us if you have a personal story of faith that you would be willing to share with us. We hope you tune in again next week, and we hope your week is full of the sparkle we all need.
Hello, I'm Adam Comer.
And I'm Ryan Chittister.
And we are the host of Life After Addiction podcast. What we believe is that addiction is not a surprise to God.
That's right. We discuss addiction from a biblical worldview and how true freedom comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolute freedom from addiction, the secular worldview of once an addict, always an addict, is just not true. If you or someone you love struggles with addiction, subscribe to Life After Addiction at lifeaudio.com.